broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Yes, He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. What's like a bird? In prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me. Glory to God, He set me free. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. Glory to God. We're homeward bound. Bonds a prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Oh, hallelujah! Aren't you glad that's a true song in your heart tonight? How many of you feel like you have been set free? All the clutches that the devil had on us, they're gone. I'm glad for that, aren't you? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? How many of you enjoy the word of the Lord here Wednesday night? You appreciate God's grace to us? Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's just stand to our feet tonight, if you will. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them at the house of God tonight. Play some more of that, brethren. Give Him a good hand clap. He's worthy tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. So good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. I believe we're going to have a time here tonight. Amen. We're going to look at our prayer requests. We don't have that many. If you'll just remain standing with me tonight for just a few minutes. I want to remember Brother Sam Clark in prayer. As you know, he's been having back problems. Very severe now. He's suffering from gallstones, and it's caused his blood pressure to go very high, has headaches and dizziness. They're asking that we would remember our brother in prayer tonight. Brother Barry and Sister Tina English, both sick in body, need healing tonight.
Sister Trina Bentley, sister, please remember my daughter in prayer. She has vertigo, needs the healing touch of the Lord to be with her. Please remember my niece. She needs God to heal her also. So we'll remember those needs tonight as we pray. And as most all of you probably already know, Sister Nan Cromer passed to her heavenly home yesterday morning. Please remember the family in prayer. So let's just pray for that family, that the Lord would certainly be mindful of them. Want to pray for the Adkins family, Brother Caleb, Sister Ruth, and Ian, all suffering from virus. So let's pray for those needs tonight. Brother Keith Phillips sends this in to please remember our family in prayer. His uncle, Bill Kennedy, passed away yesterday. That's Brother Eugene Kennedy's father. So let's just remember those folks tonight as we pray that the Lord would certainly be mindful of them. Want to continue to pray for Sister Retha McQueen. Had a pacemaker put in yesterday. Had a reaction to the meds. Very weak and sick, so they're asking that we would remember her tonight as we pray. Sister Martha Sacker offers this testimony. I would like to thank everyone for praying for my sister Judy. She is doing much better on Thursday. I got to see her move her wrist and three of her fingers on her left hand for the first time since suffering from her stroke. So they want to praise the Lord and just continue to remember her in prayer tonight as we pray. Want to continue to remember Brother Jackie Benton. He's still in the hospital. Also remember Sister Wilma in prayer. Just pray for those folks tonight. Also want to pray for Faith Green, who is very sick, needs healing. And as you know, the virus and the flu bug and allergies bothering a lot of folks right now. Let's pray for all those that are suffering in body from sickness. How many of you know God is our healer? God is our refuge. God is our, He's our answer to everything we have need of. Do you believe that with all your heart? If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight you'd like for this group to pray about, Brother West, come tonight. Take us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests. Let's commit all these things unto the Lord. Let's invite His presence into this building tonight. How many of you really believe we're going to have a good time in the Lord? Brother West, we appreciate you, buddy. God bless you, buddy.
God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Father, I want to thank you for this beautiful weather, Lord. This wonderful warm day we had, and this time, you know, of the year is usually cold and dead, and it just seems like you've given us a little reprieve. And Lord, they claim we're, you know, global warming and all that, but we know that you set the boundaries of the oceans, you set the circuits of the wind, Lord. We know it's all in your control, Lord. You know these requests here, Lord, are just like that. We name them, Lord, and we speak these requests to each other. But we know that you already know, Lord, before we ever bring them to the public, Lord. We know that you already know about each and every one of them. You know about every broken heart, Lord. You know about every sickness. You know about everybody that's hurting and laying in the hospital and seeking healing, Lord. You know about all these things, and you're right there enduring it with us and suffering with us. We know that you walk closer than a brother. We know that you care, Lord, more than we can even comprehend or understand. And Lord, just like we trust that you've got all the world in your control, Lord, and that nothing is beyond you and nothing is above your power or nothing is without the boundaries of your limits, Lord. We know that, Lord, and we know that these prayer requests, we can just know, Lord, that to ask you for your perfect will is all we have to do as your body here on earth, Lord. All we have to do is present them here, Lord, and we know that we can trust you to take care of it. Father, we put our whole lives in your hands. We come here, Lord, like a peasant invited to the king's table, Lord, feeling like we can barely understand how to come into your presence, and you allow us to sit at your table and dine. Father, you bless us so greatly with your word and your mercy and your forgiveness, Lord God. And you do so much for us, Lord. And now it's time for us to offer worship and praise to you the best that we know how. We come in here with that attitude, Lord, asking forgiveness, yes, but wanting to praise you and lift you up and lift you high enough, Lord, to where the whole world will see your glory and fall on their knees before you. Lord, we ask you to bless our brother as he's back there praying and getting ready, Lord, to come and deliver your word. We ask you to bless him and strengthen him, Lord. Prepare his heart and put the word on his heart, Lord. We know that in this age, age, we're supposed to ask for revelation more than anything else. More than anything else, Lord, we need to hear your voice. And we just thank you so much for making this a place of truth where we can come, Lord, and we can worship you and we can hear your truth, Father. I'm so grateful and so thankful, just like I am that I know and trust that you're going to look at every one of these requests tonight, Lord. And by faith, we can lay them in your hands because we know that you love us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother West. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in this service, we certainly want to welcome each and every one of you. Glad to have you here. All those folks that would be streaming this service tonight, we pray it would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make this announcement. The new church directory, they have those available for you in the library. If you'd like to pick one of those up tonight, one per family, please. If you would be mindful in that, they have those for you over in the library tonight, the new church directory. So may God bless you. It's good to be a Christian, isn't it? It's good to be a believer. Never been more happy to be a believer than I am right now. This message never meant more to me than it does right now. How about you? Are you glad you're a believer? Are you glad that the Lord lets you be a believer? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Sing it, buddy. Let's sing this song tonight. I believe it's the testimony of every child of God. You've never been this homesick before. It's almost going home time. Are you glad about it? Somebody say hallelujah. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise tonight with all your heart.
It's terrible when you get old. I can't remember for sure what key, but we'll try it in.
There's a light in the window. The table spread in splendor. Someone standing by an open door. I can see a crystal river. Oh, I must be near forever. And I've never been this homesick before. Just about home time.
the truth. There's a homesickness here that's never been here before. I'm just about sick of this place. How about you? Knowing what God has got prepared for us, I can't wait to get there, Brother Harry. Let's sing that little chorus just before we change the order of the service tonight. I can see how we would love the Lord after what He's done for us, after where He's brought us from. I'm amazed that He can still love me after all the grief I've caused Him. But I'm so glad His love is unconditional. Are you glad you're serving an unconditional, loving Lord Jesus Christ? He'll wear you out when we make a mistake, but I'm so glad that He does. Let's sing that little chorus together just before we change the order. I'm amazed that You love me. It's amazing, isn't it? Let's sing it tonight. I'm amazed that You love me. I'm amazed how You care. Somebody say praise the Lord. Thank you so much for singing so good tonight. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated. Brother Harry has us a special tonight. And we always love to hear our brother sing, don't we? Give him a nice hand as he gets ready to sing.
Brother Vongu and his family is here. He'd asked me to sing this song. It's a Christmas song. But you can help me. Brother Eric, you can put the words up and let everybody help me. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. I don't know how it starts. One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is He. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us,
His glory revealed. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified. Mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is here. Hands and hill nations stretched out on a tree. Took the nails for me, living, He loved me, dying, He saved me, buried, He carried my sins far away, rising, He justified. Glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved, one ringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, justified freely forever.
Hallelujah.
One day He's coming.
Yes, Lord.
A glorious day.
Hallelujah.
A glorious day. Glorious day.
Oh, praise God.
A glorious day.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord. Aren't you so glad He loved you? He wasn't worth loving. A nickel had been a high price to pray for all of us piled in one pile. And what was the price that was paid? The greatest price that could ever be paid. Amen. God Himself. Amen. I so love Him and appreciate Him, don't you? Let's turn tonight, if you would, to the Song of Solomon again, chapter 7, verse 5. Let's hold the King tonight in the galleries. Let's invite Him to come and walk with us. And see what He'll say. See if He'll open not just His book to us. See if He'll open His heart to us. Pull us in. Let us see things that He desires for us to understand. Anybody that has physical hands will be able to reach down and open up this book. And if they've been able to learn a little bit to read, they'll be able to read. And say here in the book of Job, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. It don't take much revelation to understand that. But if we can be able to be invited into the presence of the King and walk with Him in the gallery, He'll not only open this book, He'll open His heart, His intent, His purpose, His motive, His objective. That's what I want to know. I want to know more in His Word. Don't get quiet on me now. I want to know Him. It's not to know this is life, but it's to know Him. Amen. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel. Now remember, this is Him speaking to the bride. And the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love. Can you imagine being privileged by God to be called His love? My goodness, children. That'll make everyone want to run up here around the altar and just spend the next hour just crying and thanking Him for His grace to us. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples. Now listen carefully what words are said and to whom they are said. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself. Now this message of taking up the cross is not for everybody. It's not for every Christian. It's only for disciples. Disciples. Christians are those that are accepted Christ as their Savior. A disciple is an imitator of his teacher. Now, I realize in the day that we're living in, we've got two basic categories of Muslims. We've got the modern Muslims, which do not do and act as Muhammad himself did. And then we've got the other ones, which we now term extremist. Now, they're actually acting the way he acted. I've got the Quran, I know. I've read it. I know his teachings. I know what he said. I know what he done. I looked at his history. He done exactly the way they're doing. Killing, plundering, murdering, raping, doing all that sort of thing. Well, they term them, you know, they term them extremists because the modernist Muslims want to be able to look at, well, we don't have to do it necessarily today. We can kind of change it around a little bit and we don't have to exactly do it that way. And you realize that's the way it is with Christianity. That some look at, well, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord now. Don't go to meddling in my life. I'm a Christian. But then we've got disciples who are impersonators of what their rabbi taught them. Praise the Lord. So I'm an extremist Christian. I'm a radical. Praise the Lord. I'm a live by the book sort of guy. What kind are you? Now all of you are one kind or the other. Now notice Jesus said, oh, there's 15 minutes of my sermon already gone. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Not Jesus now, not your brothers, not your wives, but your cross, and follow after me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Where? Where will you find it? Well, if you lose it, and then you're going to find it, where are you going to find it at? You'll find it where you lost it. You lost it in Christ. So you'll find it in Christ. If you lose it in Laodicea, you're in a mess of trouble. That's right. Let's pray together now. Ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we love You so much. We love You, Jesus, because You first loved us. We love You, Lord, because You've given us the ability to love You back. We know that our human spirit, that we're made so, that we can love, but we cannot love You to the degree that You desired to be loved until eternal life first touches our being. I pray tonight, Father, that You'd speak to us from Your Word. We have great needs among us. Lord Jesus, we ask that Your presence would come. We invite You to walk with us, Lord, down this gallery. We count it an honor tonight to be walking arm in arm with the great King Himself as we embrace Your Word. May Your presence come and breathe upon us again, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's go directly into this now. Question and answers. Brother Bam says, when you're born in this world, you are a liar. You are a thief. You're everything there is, just all the sin. Not a thief because you haven't stole, but you're not a liar because you've not lied, but that spirit is in you when you're born because you're of this world. So the potential in every one of us, we were liars, we were thieves, whoremongers, drunkards, cigarette smokers, just about everything in the world that you could imagine. That's exactly what we were because of our nature. Well, I never had lied, but the spirit in you to lie was already there. And the fallen nature to commit adultery and all that sort of thing, it was already there. Of course, this is why we have to be born again. And he said, that's the reason you can't have reformation. To reform, you've got to die and be born again. You cannot have birth without crucifixion. Now listen, you cannot have birth without crucifixion. You can't have resurrection. You must be crucified to the things of the world in order to be resurrected in Christ. Now here we're talking about, of course, accepting what the Lord Jesus did at His cross. We cannot take up our cross until the first we're truly born again. And once we become born again, then that puts us in harmony with Him to where then it enables us to be able to take up our cross. And then once we become in line with Him, we sow our birth by His presence that the spiritual image of God reflects itself out every day that we live. Now, it's not just taking up and saying, well, I believe the Bible and I believe the message and I go to the church. I believe what Brother Branham said. I believe that. But it's actually a life that is lived out of us automatically. Amen. Hold on now. You don't struggle to live this life of the message once you're born again. You don't struggle to live a godly life once you're born again. No more than a sinner struggles to live a sinner life. They live it because they are a sinner. They don't struggle. Oh, I'm going to try to sin today. Oh, I'm going to try to sin. Devil, help me to sin. The devil don't have to help them. They're born in them to sin. A child of God is born to live right. Born to do right. Born to talk right. Is that right? Amen. Watch again now. In the as I know, he says, excuse me. May we remain true like Job until we've seen him face to face. May we be as true as our Lord was, our example to go to Calvary, ready to be crucified and be crucified with him, that there might be a resurrection in our life. Now, before Jesus, of course, could be resurrected, Jesus had to be crucified. Before we can be resurrected, we've got to be crucified spiritually. And once we are crucified in Him, then we're resurrected to be crucified again. So you're crucified to be resurrected to be crucified. You're crucified once to be raised once to be crucified every day thereafter. Amen. But it's not a crucifixion. The second one is not a crucifixion to birth. It's not a crucifixion to becoming born again. It is a crucifixion to let the very life of God live in our lives and help us bring subject this whole thing that ain't saved. Amen. Don't let nobody tell you that we're free in this nation. You're not. You're never free. You're either a bond slave to Christ and His love or the devil's. You're a slave to the devil and his things. You're a slave to something. I'm glad to be Christ's slave. How many is glad? I'll tell you, friends, people this year complaining and grumbling about, I got to do this and I got to live right and I got to go to church. You need to get saved. You need to get the Holy Ghost. If you ever get the Holy Ghost, you fall in love with the Lord. You fall in love with going to church, too. You fall in love with reading the words. You fall in love with clapping your hands and worshiping God. You don't have to be pumped up. You don't have to be begged. You don't have to be given an office in the church. You're there when the doors open because you are a worshiper. You're born to worship. You're born to praise Him. You're born to shout. You're born to dance in the Spirit. You're born to live right.
You don't have to beg them. Can you imagine people down to honky tonk tonight? Oh, won't somebody come in here and get drunk? Oh, please, somebody come on in and get drunk. Y'all come in here and have a good time. They're not begging them. They're waiting in line to get in there. They're spending their hard-earned money for a fifth of whiskey or whatever they drink. They're waiting in line. They can't wait to get there. If they do that to get a headache, what ought you and I to do to get a body change? My, my, there ought to be something in our heart. This place ought to be set on fire. It ought to be more lively than any honky-tonk in Johnson City. It ought to be more set afire with the blaze of the Holy Ghost and the passion in our heart for the power of God. Where are you going? Well, I'm going to church tonight, I reckon. I wanted to go to Walmart, but I guess I might as well go to church. No, go ahead and go to Walmart. If you'd rather go to Walmart than be here, you're dismissed. But if you want to be right here, my, there ain't no place in the world you'd rather be in the house of God. Why? You enjoy your slavery. Don't sit around and look like you got the old money grubs. My, my, don't you want what I got? No, if it makes you miserable and contrary, mean on the devil himself, I don't want it. I want joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh my, notice he says you're a slave to the devil and his things, you're a slave to something. I'm glad to be Christ's slave. Amen. Crucified to the things of the world. Yet I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. He says Christ pointed himself, point to people rather, to his death. Except a corn of wheat falls into the ground, it abides alone. Oh, how different it is. Yes, sir, how different. But your life and his life find each other. Not at the church, not in a building, not in a creed, not in good works, but in the cross where you're crucified with him. In the cross where you're crucified with him, your life meets his life, and you come out of there a different person. Amen. That's where you find Christ. You don't find him by doing better, turning a new page, starting a new life. You don't find Christ. You find Christ only in death, not in a manger. He ain't in a manger no more. You got a manger scene in your house, update it. Lay down yourself. You ought to be the manger now. To believe in a certain creeds and fables, you don't find Christ there. A true servant takes you to him, and he is the Word. May God help me tonight to take into the presence of Christ. So we can't just preach now the cross of Christ and say we're preaching the full gospel. Because the Lord Jesus, the initiator of this full gospel, preached his cross, but he preached ours, as I've said it over and over again, that he preached our cross more than he preached his own. So we agreed that there is a significance and a great significance in that, because he would have never emphasized it so much if it was not very vital and important for us as disciples. Now, if you want to be a Christian and you want to be a, you know, that kind of a person, you go right ahead. But I'm preaching tonight a hope to people who want a body change. People who are interested in getting out of this world. Now, you remember that Satan, because he is based upon selfishness, that the world is geared towards self-worship. So it's toward everything that I want, whatever I want, whatever I desire, whatever makes me feel good, whatever I like. And it's not really about you. It's not really about what how you view this or that. It's about me. I want this and I want that. That's the way the world looks at themselves. And what is it? Self-worship. So it is self-indulgence based upon the spirit of Antichrist, because that's what Satan is. He does nothing. He does absolutely nothing that does not benefit himself. Now think of it, the devil does not do anything that benefits him, anyone else. Well, I feel sorry for so-and-so, I feel sorry for so-and-so, I'm going to try to help him. But whatever the devil does, it is ultimately for him. Now keep in mind now that many people will do things for other people, but it is hid behind the guise of really what they want themselves. So they will do this for you, but they have something behind it, which ultimately means they're going to be honored, gratified, glorified, or something. That's still Antichrist. Amen. A real Christian does things for others with absolutely no expectation of anything back. The Lord Jesus come to this earth. He died for wretched sinners, and he knew that many of them would never accept him, but he died and made a way exactly the same anyhow. Praise the Lord. That is eternal life. Now, everybody does not have it. Even those Christians, many of them we know, that believe they've accepted the Lord Jesus, and according to their conception of the gospel, they think they have eternal life. But we know that eternal life is not something that began on a certain day, ended on a certain day. It is a person. And when you're baptized into that person, it is the nature of his own life, which is eternal life. Living for others, then, it involves the very nature of God himself. It's not about, well, I'm going to scratch Brother Charlie's back because I know if I do, that it'll depend on, you know, Brother Charlie, he'll feel like he's got to scratch my back. So actually, I have another motive in mind other than scratching his. Because really, if I want to do it, if Brother Charlie's back needs scratching, I'm going to scratch it whether he scratches mine back or not. Now, people who do things for others, singers do things for other people because they need an audience. Preachers will preach and they give and they give and they give, but they really have another motive in mind. You find church workers, you find all kinds of people, and they will do things and it looks as if though they're doing it for other people, but really in the back of their mind, they're doing it so they get this much in return. You're still not living for others yet. That's the way the devil does. The devil will do this and this and this, and he may make it appear as if though he's sacrificing such an, oh my, he's got so many other people in his mind. But you know the devil, that's not the way he is. So he's doing it under this facade of something that is not truth and reality. Amen. Now watch this, in that day on Calvary. Now the first thing I want to say is, Brother Ben said, Jesus never lived for himself. And the church said, his life was spent for others. That's perfectly eternal life. Now think of what eternal life is then. Eternal life is the display of a life from eternity. So get out of your mind now what you think. Well, eternal life is just how long I live. No, it's more than the length of life. Eternal life is a quality and a character and a nature of eternal essence. So eternal life is not just this great big long span of life to where it does not start and it does not end. So it is a character and it is an attribute of an eternal being. Eternal life is the life of Elohim himself. When the Lord Jesus came to the earth, he already was the possessor of eternal life. He did not receive eternal life. He was eternal life. It was eternal life that come down into a body form that was formed, of course, in a virgin womb. That body had a day started. That body could die, but the life in that body never did start. So that was eternal life. So he did not have to wait to go to Calvary to express eternal life, but he started expressing eternal life and that life came in him. Amen. And guess what? You and I do the same thing if we ever get it. Now watch, that's perfectly eternal life. When you say you go to church and do good things, that's fine. But when you live your life to yourself, you haven't eternal life. Oh my. Now there's many, many Christians that go to church and pay their tithes and do all sorts of good things. They help the poor. They cook meals. They do all sorts of things. And people look at that and think, my, look at that. That is so wonderful. That's so sacrificial. Not always. Not always. They're giving a meal. They're buying you something. They're doing something for you. But there's an attachment that comes with it. Your loyalty. Your loyalty. They are buying your favor. But you see, eternal life in the expression of its character from God does it absolutely toward those that would never return that favor to you. And it will do it over and over and over again. As the Lord God has caused the sun to shine on many 80, 90, 100-year-old men and women, they have never thanked him. They have never asked him for forgiveness. They've never reached up and said, Almighty God, I thank you for sunshine. And yet he's allowed it to shine on them for 100 years or 105 years, 90 years, whatever it is. He's given them food to eat. He's allowed them a place to live. He's given them oxygen. He's put trees on the earth to be able to absorb the carbon dioxide. All the things that he's done, do they thank him? Do they appreciate him? Many of them don't even believe in him. And yet he does it over and over again, day by day by day. Why? He is eternal life. Praise the Lord. So he's not doing that. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you breathe my oxygen and maybe you'll get saved. No, he'll let them breathe his oxygen whether they get saved or not. It's entirely up to them. This is the essence of eternal life, living from the source. Now what we do is now we modify that and we say, well, this man has eternal life and that woman and that boy and that girl, and yet they live for themselves. It's all about themselves. The way they go to church is about themselves. If they're married, it's all about themselves. If they have children, it's all about themselves. Their work, everything they do, it's all about themselves, because they're looking at eternal life as a gift from a source that they don't have, but they don't ever think that that eternal life will change them to become unselfish. If you got eternal life tonight living in you, it will drive away your selfishness. Now, if you are a Christian looking unto eternal life, you can be as selfish as the devil himself. But if you have eternal life tonight in your possession, I'm glad I do, aren't you? Watch this now. He says, when you live your life to yourself, you haven't eternal life. Eternal life is living for others. Eternal life is living for others. Why did some of you men want to get married? Well, I wanted a wife, and I wanted, and I wanted, and I wanted. Uh-huh. Why did some of you women get married? Well, I wanted a husband, I wanted, and I wanted children, and I wanted this, and I wanted that, and I wanted. Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. Why do some of y'all want to sing? Why do some preachers want to preach? So they can be seen. Praise the Lord. So they can be heard. So they can have a reputation. Praise the Lord. Some preachers can only amen when they're preaching. Some singers can only worship when they're doing the singing. The rest of the time they send their mom and my, the cat got their tongue or somebody got it. That ain't a worshiper. That's an entertainer. A worshiper can sing whether they're singing or not. A preacher amens the word whether he's preaching or not, because he's amening the word, not just enjoying his enthusiasm. Right. But you see, when we go in that direction, what is all about? It's all about us then. And then we will determine how close to God that other people are based upon how they treat us. Now, if they don't like me, they're a devil. If they don't like you, they ain't a Christian. How could they be a Christian and not like you, Jim Babb? They're evil. They're wretched. They're lost. And you're basing that upon what basis? The way they treat you. Not on the essence of eternal life. Oh my, you folks are getting quieter and quieter. Oh, hallelujah. But you see, eternal life does not live for itself. It lives for others. Now, this is the life that we receive once our life meets his life at the cross, and then our nature dies and we become crystallized on the altar of God. Then there is a resurrection of the soul. And the soul becomes a breath, born rather, by the breath of God, and then that little speck of eternal life starts in that soul, and that nature starts developing and growing and becoming more and more and more like the Father who breathed it into you. Then as it does, what you find less of yourself and more of him, if it's eternal life. Now, if you're seeing more of yourself the longer you become a Christian and less of Christ, that's a bad sign. And the church said, now watch, when you live your life to yourself, you have an eternal life. Eternal life is living for others. It proves proved it when it come to the Lamb of God. He lived and had eternal life because he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He done miracles. He cast out devils. He had eternal life because he did not live for himself. Now Jesus was a man. And Jesus could have had a wife. No doubt wanted one. But some of you could never accept a Savior that was a married man. Some of you could have never accepted a Savior that had ever fathered children the same way you men fathered yours. So what did he do? He sanctified himself. How many times in Jesus' preaching would he have loved to went somewhere? He didn't have a home. So if he could have went somewhere and he could have had a wife there and maybe some small children, and Jesus could have went to his wife and his wife said, I know that's a tough day today. I know that was so hard on you, rebuking them Pharisees. But it's what you're called to do. You've got to do it. Be encouraged, Jesus. But instead, he hung around an old stinking fisherman, which didn't even understand him in the first place. But he forfeited that. That is the essence of eternal life. So it will deny itself if it will cause others to stumble. Now realize I'm moving into a thin atmosphere that is so thin, it's thinner than the ozone that hangs over our earth. But to the elect, this is the heartbeat of their soul. You see, in this age we live, it's so upon self and I and me and mine and what I want and I don't like this and I want that and I want something else. So you can see that with this age, it is the exact opposite of the gospel that is being preached in order to produce a rapture. Now listen how he goes on with this. He says he lived and had eternal life because he did not live for himself. He lived for others. And you receive eternal life by receiving that day. Now the title of the sermon is That Day on Calvary. And you don't live for yourself no more. You live for others. You don't live for yourself no more. So you're not a deacon because it gets you recognition. You're a deacon because you serve the people. You're not a preacher so that people will know who you are and you become famous or whatever more because that's something. No, no, that has nothing to do with it. You're called to be a servant. To be a husband. What is it? Well, so I can be the head of the house. So I can do this. So I can have what I want. So I can do this and other. Don't get married. Sis, don't you marry that kind of a man. He'll make it hell on earth for you. Young men, do not marry a woman that, well, I want to be this and I want to be that and I'm going to say this and another. Don't marry that kind of a woman. You're getting ready to marry a devil. Whew, it'll be hell on earth. But if you look at it in the right way, that a son of God says, I want a wife because I feel like it's in my nature by the providence of God, and I want to be the very best husband that I can be. I want to serve. I want to live for God. I want to be everything God wants me to be. And the woman looks at it the same way. Well, I desire to be a daughter of God. I desire to be the right kind of wife. And well, I want this, and I want, and I want, and I want, and I want, and I want. That's not eternal life. So all we have in this age, friends, is millions of people who think they have eternal life that are actually worshiping themselves. Which in turn are worshiping the devil. Now watch this. He says, someone said, how can you stand and let anybody call you such bad names? You don't live for yourself. You live for others that you might redeem. That man. Me? You? 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 You, Brother Johnny. A redeemer? So though you live for others that you might redeem. Now, selfishness, I wouldn't speak to that person. I'll tell you one thing. Do you know what they said about me? Do you know how they've treated me? I'll tell you one thing. I'll not. That's not eternal life. Eternal life is looking for the opportunity by which you can redeem that individual that absolutely hates you. Praise God. Oh my. Now selfishness is protecting our rights because we're Americans. And this is our Constitution. And this is our Bill of Rights of freedom and liberty and the right to do this and the right to do that and the right to do something else. Go ahead, Mr. Right. I thought you wanted to be saved. You cannot be a full-fledged American by constitutional rights and be a God-fearing, Holy Ghost-filled Christian. Total opposites. You men have a right to marry another man. Tell me how you can do that and have the Holy Ghost. You women got a right to marry another woman. You got a right just about doing anything in the world you want to do in this age, but you can't do it and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, praise the Lord. Notice you don't live for yourself. You live for others that you might redeem. Lord have mercy. That man, you become sons, and the trouble of it is the churches forgot they were sons. You are sons. You're taking, Lord Jesus, Christ's place. You're sons. So don't live for yourself. Live for others. Now, we want to take his place walking on water, raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out devils. Isn't it amazing, Brother Bram? Don't use none of that in the similitudes or the likeness by which we'll take his place. But it's living for others is what takes his place. Notice, well, Brother Branham, I can live for this brother because he's sure a nice man. That's not it. Live for the man who hates you. Live for that person who would kill you if they could. Now, don't anybody raise any hands, even bat any eyes, any eyebrows, or anything like that. But how many of us can do this? Can we live for those people to try to help them, even though they hate you? There's people that would absolutely rejoice if they heard you died with a heart attack. There's folks in this message and out that's never shouted in their life would have a spell if I died with a heart attack. But you know what I would do if I heard they died with a heart attack? God have mercy on their soul. I hope they was able to make things right with God. You know why? I have eternal life. I don't rejoice when I hear my enemies fell into trouble or this or that or the other. That's not eternal life. I do not rejoice. Well, so-and-so wrecked and his wife done this and other. I say, oh, God, have mercy. I hope they was able to make peace with you. That is the difference between selfishness and eternal life. Selfishness looks for people to constantly be venged upon. God will get you for doing that to me. God will get you. Here's the Lord Jesus himself hanging upon the cross and the Romans and the Jews together crucifying him. That he said, you're going to get it, boy. You wait till you stand before me at the white throne judgment. What was his attitude? Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. That's eternal life. How many has it? Oh, dear Lord. Woo! Well, let me stop right now and make an altar call. I didn't even see no deacon's hands go up. Now think of it, friends. If we're going to walk with the King, let's just not walk on water. Let's just not raise the dead. But let's walk with the King this way. To where eternal life so emanates out of our soul that the person that would kill us, we can look on them with pity and feel sorry for them. Listen to this. Live for the man who hates you. Live for that person who would kill you if they could. That's what they've done to him. They killed him. And he died that he might save them. That's eternal life. When you get that, glory to God, that's in your bosom. You're facing heaven then. But your sacrifice, your own things, you give them up like sheep gives its wool. You look on toward Calvary. Oh my, then we get a little old petty things because so-and-so sits by me and I don't like them. So-and-so got my parking spot. Why don't we grow up? Why don't we grow up and realize this church ain't built around you and your little personality? I don't like the sound. I don't like the temperature. I don't like this, that, and other. We're worshipers. We're to come in here. My goodness, saints, I've been in these third world countries that sat out under a tree, didn't have carpet on the floor, didn't have no padding on the pew. And when you preach an hour and a half, they beg you to preach another hour and a half for 2 hours. A bunch of spoiled Americans were lazy, were soft. Doty. Mama. Whew. Notice this in adoption again. He says, that's one of the sweetest words I've ever heard. Father, I sanctify myself for their sake. Isn't that a peculiar perspective? Isn't that strange that Brother Branham would say some of the sweetest words he ever heard? I mean, you'd think John 3:16 or some other great scripture of salvation. His perspective of eternal life was much different than most of ours. Now watch what he says. He says, do you know that he had a right to have a home? He was a human. You know, he had a right to have a wife. He was a man. He had a right to all these things, but he said, Father, I sanctify myself for their sake. Now, you don't have to raise your hand or nod your head one way or the other. But could you have accepted Jesus as being a married man and been your Savior? Could you have accepted Jesus if it had 6 children, 8, 10, 12? And none of them have spoken word. They all come the same way yours is born. Now be honest, some of you couldn't. I'm not degrading you now. You just couldn't do it. You'd really struggle. The majority of Christendom would struggle with Jesus being a married man. They would struggle with Jesus having a relationship with a woman. They struggle with Jesus having a headache. Even message folks, when I quote that quote, they about pass that. You got to go back and get the Excedrin PM to help them get through the rest of the service. To think that Jesus had a headache. Why? They don't know who he was. But here, let me bring him to you in such a way. He was a man. He could have had a wife. So instead of allowing himself that comfort that I've had, that other men have had, he said, I know this will hurt some of my children. Some of them would really struggle with me being married. So I'll give it up. I'll give it up for their sake. Oh, I would to God we had some real followers of Jesus. That you have a right maybe to do this and say this and do that and do something else. But you don't do it just based upon your rights. But you look, what if this would offend somebody? What if that would be a stumbling block to somebody else? Why don't we think that way? Because eternal life is not impressing upon our soul in the right degree. Now listen to what he thought. He was a man. He had the right to all these things. But he said, Father, I sanctify myself for their sake. Not his sake. Not his sake. Jesus knew that he could be a married man with a wife, father, children. He could have done all kinds of other things. It would have not hindered him as being the sinless atonement at all. But he forfeited that for their sake. Notice again, he says in the adoption, I love these quotes. I was talking to a little preacher yesterday going to preach for him in a few nights up here on the highway. And I asked him about a certain thing. And he said, yes, Brother Branham, but the most of my people doesn't believe in that. I said, most of them are legalist? He said, yes. Brother doesn't believe that. But he said, for their sake. Oh, I wanted to hug his neck. For their sake, see, I sanctify myself for their sake. Now, you're this pastor of the church just up the road from Brother Branham, where he was going to preach for him, and most of his people were legalist Pentecostals. Didn't perceive predestination and many of these other great things. But the pastor himself had a clear understanding. And Brother Branham is asking the pastor, but he said, well, Brother Branham, the majority of my people don't understand it that way. He said, so for their sake. And Brother Branham says, you compromiser. You yellow-bellied coward, you! Brother Branham wanted to hug his neck. Makes you really wonder if we understand all those things, don't it? What we would consider a compromising move, Brother Terry. But yet this man looked at it for the sake of whom? Those sheep that he loved. Now the man himself didn't believe in it. Apparently the people do us not up to what Brother Branham himself even taught and believed himself. But yet the man looked at it and said, for their sake, for their sake. What was that? It was the harmonizing of the prophet's view of what the essence of eternal life was. That you have a right, as a pastor said, I'll tell you one thing, you bunch of legalists, you need to get out of this way, you need to. Or he can gently lead a man like a shepherd leads his sheep. So for their sake, he may have to hold up a little bit. I've got things I've never even got to preach to you yet. You know the reason why? For your sake. I'm waiting on you. Come on. I'm waiting on you. Now, I can stand up here and preach over the top of your head. My eyes just rattle off and rattle off. What good is it going to do you if you're not up to where you need to live there yet and what you need done here? So what am I going to do? For your sake, I'll keep on preaching where you are. Break in a little bit every now and then. Give you something. I'm waiting on you to come on, children. You coming with me? Oh my. Notice, he says, Jesus was training 12 men. That through those 12 men to take the gospel to the world. And he said, for their sake I sanctify myself. Make yourself for your neighbor's sake. Oh my. But that's not the way we think. Now, if you're a loud worshiper, boisterous, real emotional and all that, somebody sits around you that's not quite as loud as you are, depending on whether or not you have the impression of eternal life, whether you will worship with that person in mind, or if you're very, very quiet and you don't like a lot of noise, and there's somebody by you that's more loud or more boisterous, depending on how you look at eternal life, you see, selfish people, the loud, boisterous person will tell the other person, move! And the quiet person will tell the noisy person, now you move. Why? Both of them are misunderstanding eternal life. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Preach, Brother Donnie. I'm with you, son. Go ahead, boy. Lay her down there. But you know what? Maybe God put the boisterous Land Rover near the Australian Humvee. And one of them just, oh, oh, glory, glory. And I said, dear God, this imbecile. God may put y'all side by side or on the same pew, one on one end, one on the other. Or maybe you're real quiet and you got a screamer behind you. The whole time during service, your hair just waves. It just stands up on ends. And you've tried to move and it seemed like no place sets as good or sounds as good or feels as good as that particular spot. But you just wish they would move. What is it? Eternal life being expressed on both sides. Now you see, selfishness though makes us want to modify. Well, why in the world can't they do it the way I want it?
tell me how that's possible. If it wasn't but five of us here, and if it wasn't but me and my four little grandchildren, we couldn't do it all to suit everybody. Much less with all the rest of you all. But eternal life will make us one harmonious group where we love one another so much. Oh man, now there's things about our flesh that you don't like about me. There's things about you I sure don't like. And there's things about both of us don't like about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. But this is one thing I keep looking forward to. Not only in the body change am I going to get a young body, but I'm going to get a body that's going to change me from the dislikes I have about you. And it's also going to change you from the dislikes you have about me. Because if both of our souls have got the Holy Ghost, our Holy Ghost ain't disagreeing no how. It's this right here. So what do we do? Now notice how he says this. Make yourself for your neighbor's sake. Oh my goodness, you mean he don't tell me God's going to do this? I've got to do this. Make yourself for your neighbor's sake, for somebody else's sake. Don't use your liberty for a cloak, said Paul, but sanctify yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now come on, John. I'm talking about walking in the gallery with the King, of living a crucified life. It don't just stop out yonder. My, much of some of the time of our greatest crucifixions right here in church. That's exactly right. Watch this. He says, don't use your liberty for a cloak, said Paul, but sanctify yourself. Behave yourself in the neighborhood like a real Christian ought to. Let your communication, if you meet your enemy, sanctify yourself for his sake. Not knowing what you might do. So how do you meet your enemies? Here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. Well, I've been needing a tree like this. That's a nice tree right there. Is it gone? Brother James, is it gone? Whew, boy, that was close. Man alive. Or are you able to walk up? How you doing? Haven't seen you in a while. Trust you're doing okay. That don't mean you go along with them. That don't mean that whatever they've said and done against you is made right. But it means you sanctified your feelings. Maybe you had a right to feel hurt. Maybe you had a right to feel put out or whatever. But you sanctified yourself. As a person possessing eternal life, you stood right there and took control of your body. And let eternal life permeate your emotions. And you got so control of your eyes, they never dance back and forth in your head or this way. No redness of face, no flushing of the blood pressure, no anger, no jittering of the teeth. And when you grabbed a hold of his or her hand, you never pumped iron until brought them down to their knees, but you gave them a nice friendly handshake. What did you do? You sanctified yourself. Maybe you're disgusted by the way they live. Maybe it's somebody from the church that you know has run us down, talked about us like a dog, lived an awful life, and you say, I can't believe that person. I can't sanctify yourself. They're expecting you to act like them. They're expecting you to treat them cold because that's the way they do. But God's expecting you to express eternal life, not eternal separation. Hallelujah, friend. The world is hurting for love and kindness, and we as children of God, if there's anybody that's got it, it ought to be us. No, you're not compromising by being nice. So you meet, notice this. Whoa. He said you meet. You look at these kind of people. What do? Sanctify yourself. Never knowing what you can do. I think the sweetest scripture that there is in all the Bible is the scripture Father, I sanctify myself because of them. Now, I want to ask you something. Is that your view? Do you view this as the sweetest scripture in the Bible? We view it as a painful one, don't we? Because you know what I'm fixing to get at. If he did that, then we're got to do that. Can you imagine? The sweetest scripture there is in the Bible, in this scripture, Father, I sanctify myself because of them. He was a man. He could have had a wife. He was a man. He could have had a home, a place to lay his head. He had rights to that. He was a man. He could have had good clothes. Lord Jesus. But what did he say? Father, I sanctify myself. What was he doing training up 12 disciples that were going to preach the gospel in all the world? He put an example. And brethren, as ministers, I tell you, it pays us not to get too much of this world's goods and things hanging around us. You preachers I'm talking to, sanctify yourself from them that you're going to lead. That's what we need today, is a complete, consecrated, sanctified life of ministers that walk upright before God. Does not entangle with the things of the world. Keep away from it. My Father, I sanctify myself for their sake. Not because he had to do it. He did it for their sake. Now you see, whenever we are forced to do something, if somebody gets too loud in worship, somebody don't worship enough, the song leader constantly has this balance. You got no peepers sitting there. You know what no peepers are, don't you? They don't make a peep. They don't wink, they don't ouch, they don't say amen, they just sit there and they're like a mummy. We're not even in Egypt. They just sit there, they make no move toward the word, no move toward singing, and then you've got others, it's the other side. And the poor song leader, if he's standing by, all right, praise the Lord, everybody, hallelujah. Well, those that are peepers, they peep everywhere. And the no peepers, they just sit there, no peep. So you're constantly trying to find that something. You don't realize what you ought to do. The expression of eternal life is, Lord, help me. I'm tired, I'm weary, I got a headache, this, that, the other, but I'm going to sanctify myself. I'm going to worship you tonight, Lord. I'm not going to worship you and to please Brother Louis. I'm not going to worship you like this person or that person, but I'm going to do it with all of my heart. I'm going to sanctify myself, but also keep in mind, I'm not going to take over the service. Praise the Lord. You see, we want to do it in such a way that it is the expression of eternal life. The person who dominates the service by their voice or by their actions, that's taking away from the preaching of the word, that's not eternal life. That's selfishness. Hallelujah. If you know Sister Peep sitting beside you, really gets annoyed by your loud peeps and you peep, 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 peep. That's not praising God. That's using your vocal expression to get at her or him. That's not eternal life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some folks feel like they got to express how much they know about the message. And when a preacher gets up to quote a quote, they've got to run in front of him. And the prophet of God said such and such and so and so and so before the preacher ever says it. Sanctify yourself. Let the preacher read it. Nothing wrong with saying amen, but amen is supposed to follow the word, not go before it. Amen. Come on, children. What is it? It's getting our lives in sanctification to the word to where it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about people. Oh, man, he knows a word, don't he? Oh, before Brother Donnie ever quotes a quote, he spits it right out, which is probably why he's doing it. First Peter chapter 2 verse 20. For what glory is it if when ye are buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, You take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Isn't that wonderful? You see, when we are buffeted for our faults, don't count that as a trial. A lot of the things that we go through in life are self-inflicted. Because of our long tongue or our long nose, praise the Lord, and we're going through so much stuff, but a lot of it is self-inflicted. It is not done. God done it. And bless his little old heart, a lot of it ain't even the devil. A lot of it is us. And we get buffeted for our own faults. There's no glory in us being buffeted for our own faults. Oh, listen to the way Peter says it. For what glory is it? What glory is it when ye are buffeted for your own faults? Oh my. And ye shall take it patiently. I'm so persecuted. I'm so talked about and run down in the church. I don't know why I'm so persecuted. I could probably tell you. Some of you don't take a bath. Naturally or spiritually. Some of you got your nose in other folks' business. And you want to hide behind the scripture called Chloe. Chloe was not a busybody. Oh, Jesus, get me out of this, Lord. You see, when we are being buffeted for our faults and our failures, and we take it so patiently, I'm so persecuted. I'm like Jesus. Jesus was not buffeted for his faults. He had none. He was buffeted for truth. Let's just be honest. A lot of what I've went through in life and what you went through in life, I've done it my own stupid self. And I'm going to go ahead and say it for some of you, y'all done it for your own stupid self too. It has nothing to do with trials of God. It has nothing to do with tests from the devil. It's our own ignorant ways. Amen. Glory to God. So be it. That is not your cross. Let's stand. If you can, I understand. We'll roll ambulances in to get you here in a few moments. Oh my goodness. Let's read this again as we close. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. But I'd like for you to think about this now tonight and tomorrow before we come back in for the service tomorrow. We'll pick this up. And I want you to think about it real close and just ask yourself the question. Is it not much easier to reverse this scripture in reality than it is to fulfill it the way it's written? It's much easier for us to go on and on and on because we're so buffeted for our faults. But when it comes to really being tested by God for righteousness, we complain and grumble and bellyache. Why? Because your faults are so part of who this is. And if it can hide itself from your view, it knows you won't correct it. But if you're just so persecuted, you're just so persecuted because you're so spiritual. Or you're so persecuted because you're just fulfilling the scripture. Be still and know that I am God. I don't say amen in church because I don't want to miss anything. And where's the quote to back that up?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So see, all of us in this can look for scriptures and quotes to justify and support this. And then when people come against this, we're being persecuted. So persecuted. Oh, I've got this heavy cross. Big long beam here is your long tongue. This part up here is your nose. It's a big long nose sucking people's business. And this part down here is... Oh, my cross. Oh. But Peter goes on to say, if any man suffers because he is a Christian. A Christian. Are you suffering because you're a Christian or because of your fault? Some folks are so legalistic on doctrinal views and all that. They are so persecuted. Persecuted for the word. It's not really the word. It's their legalistic view. Others that lean toward the other side that are so much grace. I'm so persecuted for grace. I'm not persecuted for grace. I'm persecuted for looseness. But depending on where they stand, you see, we can find quotes and scriptures to back up and prove seemingly. And we're so persecuted. But are you persecuted for being a Christian? A Christian. This word is used 3 times in the New Testament. Christian. They were first called Christians at Antioch. It was given by those people who one of their favorite pastimes was making up nicknames. The word Christian was given as a term of slander. They were not bragging on them. But Peter was one of the New Testament writers and he took that word and he thought, that is a compliment. They meant it as slander, but I'm going to use this term. And the Romans called them Christianos. Christianos. So Peter said, if any man is persecuted for being a Christianos, now everybody's a Christian. Everybody's going to heaven. By that I mean the majority. You don't know what I'm saying. Is there a persecution to be called a Christian today? But in that day, Brother Jim, to say you were a Christian. But the time the emperor come on the scene who instituted emperor worship, and they found the Christianos, every loyal subject of Rome, at least once a month, had to burn incense to the emperor and acknowledge his allegiance that Caesar was Lord. So when they come to the churches or come to your house and said, offer incense and confess that Caesar is Lord. Of course, the Christians, the true ones, wouldn't do it. Then they would write the name of Christ on a wall. Or they'd write it down on the dirt. And they'd command the Christians to spit on that name. And if they wouldn't, they were arrested. Many of them were prosecuted and killed for being a Christian. For being a Christian. Not for our faults. Not for our shortcomings. For being a Christian. Not our stubbornness. Not our hard-headedness. For being a Christian. I wonder how much of my life, of what I've went through, I wonder how much of it really has been for being a Christian. And for the sake of the word. And how much of it's been because of this? Can I turn it right over and tip it over your direction? So you can ask yourself the same thing. We think because we're sick, we're going through something. Really? What about all them sinners that lay up in the hospital? They have some of the same things you folks have. Trials, tests, just tests of life. Some of you, the reason that you have bronchitis, pneumonia, things like that, has nothing to do with the trial of your faith. It's a weakness in your body. Just like other folks have it. Why don't everybody have it? Everybody don't have that same mutation in their body. Their DNA, their genes. Right? You know why I get fat on chocolate? Because I eat too much. It's very simple. Don't eat as much chocolate. Don't get as much pudge. If I'm going to be persecuted for being a Christianos, then let me not emerge my makeup, my this and my that. Well, I'm persecuted for what? My ignorance? My stupidity? Well, glory. Well, we've had a meeting tonight, ain't we? Woo! Glory. Let's bow our heads together. Children, it about tears my heart out of me to have to whip you like this. But I love you so much. I'll whip you every service like this if I got to get us there. Because I'm being whooped right with you. Let's take up our cross. Let's not take all of our faults and our failures and all this and other and merge that in somehow to being buffeted for being a Christian. When in reality, it's our own flesh and our own weaknesses. Hallelujah. Sanctify yourself. When you come to church, your way of worship, Brother Louis stands up here, Brother Joel Brown, whoever it is, they're trying to create something that'll help the word go forth. They see some of you that don't worship, don't move. Sanctify yourself. Put forth a little bit more effort. Those of you that feel that pulling, and you feel Brother Louis trying to do that, you don't have to take the burden on yourself. You don't have to scream 15 times louder to make up for everybody else. Sanctify yourself. Find your place. Let all of us come in here, every one of us, to sanctify ourselves so we can be able to have what God wants us to have. This ain't just so in church. It's so in our everyday lives, on the job, to the person who don't like you, in your family, in your marriages, your parents, your children. Sanctify yourself. Husbands, sanctify yourself for your wife's sake. Wives, sanctify yourself for your husband's sake. What's peace in your home worth? Are you willing to trade off some peace in order to make sure your point is proven? I value peace more than that myself. I love peace and tranquility and happiness. I hate fussing. I cannot live in a world of fussing. I just can't take it. It grieves my Holy Ghost. Amen. Are we willing to sanctify ourselves? There's a great difference, friends, in sanctifying and compromise. Let's bow our heads, if you would, and our hearts. And we would like to be remembered before the Lord tonight. You want to be a better Christian? One who can sanctify themselves. Let eternal life live out. Praise God. Lord Jesus, how we thank you for your word tonight. I thank you that we have been invited into the gallery with the King. What an honor it's been to walk down this gallery of self-sacrifice. We have been invited as his disciples. As the scripture that I read said, and Jesus said unto his disciples. And he told them what to do to take up the cross. We count it an honor tonight that as disciples we have been invited to sit in this setting where the King has spoken to us to take up our cross.
And Lord, I thank you that you've helped define a little bit more clearly what our cross is. Help us, Lord. May we live in such a way that we can sanctify ourselves. Help me, Lord, as a preacher, that I can find the delicate line between sanctifying myself and compromise. Help me, Lord, that as a minister with my preacher friends, or when I preach for others that maybe don't agree on certain things, help me to find that delicate spot that I sanctify myself for that brother's sake and for his church's sake, rather than to cause some sort of a trouble while I'm there. Lord, I pray you'd help each of us here at Happy Valley. Lord, that we can find that delicate spot to where we worship you, as your prophet used the words over and over again, according to the dictates of our hearts. And we know that each of us are made different. Some are more emotional. Some put very, very great expression on their emotions by vocalism and by their hands and whatever more. Others may stand there and cry. They're doing it with just as much release from their soul, but as not much physical expression. May we not stand there and judge one another and, well, I wish they'd do like me. How come they have to holler louder? And the other person, oh, I wish they'd be louder. I don't understand anybody that could be so quiet in a service like this. But help us, Father, to realize we're not that person's judge. We're not the example of worship. Lord Jesus, help us that we'll sanctify ourselves. I believe if we can take and apply this to our life, it'll make our lives better. It'll make our services better, richer, more full. We'll be able to accept diversity that is among us, not be judgmental. We'll be the same way with preachers who come and preach, Lord. We'll not try to put everybody in the same mold. We'll be able to accept the diversifying gifts that you place among us. Help us, Lord Jesus. Most of all, may eternal life express itself through us in such a wonderful way. Oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's just lift our hands to Him now, can we? Just for a moment now of solitude between you and the Lord. He sanctified Himself for you. Maybe your makeup is you could have never accepted a married Savior, a Savior who fathered children. So He relinquished that for you. Your soul would have no problem with it, but your flesh would read in the Bible, and Jesus married so-and-so, and Jesus had this son, and this son, and this daughter, and this daughter. And every time you'd read that, you'd so struggle with it. You'd think, how could that be? So He sanctified Himself for your sake. So surely you wouldn't accept that from Him. And then you would be resentful if He would ask you to sanctify yourself for His sake. So as we stand here in His presence, and maybe you're tired and maybe you're weary and you've got things on your mind, troubles and whatever more. In reality, you don't feel like worshiping. You really don't feel like coming into that. But why don't you sanctify yourself for His sake? And give up just a few more minutes of your time before we go, and you stand outside and talk and go eat or whatever more you do after service on Saturday. Let's just sanctify ourselves while we're standing here in the gallery with the King. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now think, we're here to minister to Him, to adore, to love, to praise, just to pull Him up near us, as it were. And let's tell Him back, how fair is your love for delights. Oh, Jesus, we worship you. We adore your blessed name. Amen. Let's each of us now, let's just pull Him up real close to us. Just for a moment, forget about your wife, your children, those that are standing around you.
how other people are doing. Don't trouble yourself with that right now. You just stand there in the gallery with the King yourself. Just tell Him how you feel. Tell Him how you love Him. How you want to be a better wife to Him. Just whatever's on your heart. You know the way I talk to Jesus? I don't talk to Jesus with these and thous and all that sort of thing. I just talk to Jesus in the common language that I talk to anybody else with reverence and respect, of course. But I use my same vocabulary. I don't get in a Bible thing. That was King James, the way they wrote it. That's not the way I talk to Him. I just talk to Him as a friend. And all the honesty that I know, all the reality that I know, because that's who I am. Don't feel like you've got to put on your religious tone and your religious voice and move over into religious words. Just talk to Him the way you are. Just express your love to Him and your need for Him. Hallelujah. Are you willing to sanctify yourself for Him tonight? Are you willing to sanctify yourself? Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We magnify your holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sing it for us, Harry. Let's just worship Him now together in song, shall we? Don't think so much about your need. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I need this or that. Well, we might get to that in a moment. But let's just focus on His need. Jesus come to church tonight with needs. He's not sick. He's not weary and He's not down. But He needs to be loved. He needs to be worshipped and adored. I don't want Him to walk out of these doors tonight with them needs not been met, do you? I want to meet those needs. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
As the deer.
Hallelujah.
The water so
my soul. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Alone are my heart's desire, and I long.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You alone.
Let's worship Him now, saints.
My strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit.
Yes, Lord,
you alone are my heart's
hallelujah.
Desire, and I
hallelujah.
To worship.
Praise God. Let's sanctify a little bit of strength in our arms and raise our hands.
You are my friend.
Yes.
And you are my
brother.
So much more.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Give
me faith.
You alone are my strength.
Hallelujah.
My shield.
My shield.
You alone may my spirit.
Hallelujah.
To worship
you. We long to worship you, Lord. This evening before I was getting ready for church, I got a news alert on my phone. It said President Obama was going to speak at a certain time. Announced that the world leaders had reached a global pact of a global climate treaty. When I read it, I looked at it. And just like that, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I make a global treaty with the earth. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Glory to God. I said, praise God, the global community, they can do what they want to do, but the global weather's already been announced. A new heavens and a new earth. And there ain't nothing going to stop it. We don't have to meet in Paris, saint. It's already been designated in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. When will it come, Brother Donnie? It'll be right on time, I guarantee you. Just a few more troubles, a few more tests. It ain't going to be long. Amen. Let's sing together. He's an on-time God. Let's worship a little bit, shall we, before we go? Can we worship a little before we go? Hallelujah. Well, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Is an on-time God. Yes, he is.
She ain't seeing the morning. Oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. May not come when you want him to, but
God, yes, He is.